Welcome to Family by Design, a weekly radio program brought to you by Wellspring Christian Family Schools, the education ministry of WCF Church, located in Sebillesville, Maryland. We hope that today, in some way, we will help you to treasure God's design for your family.
Because the greatest gift a father can give is a life lived for Jesus. And the greatest gift a mother can give is the knowledge of the Lord. Pass him on to your children. He's the gift that keeps on giving. The greatest gift is a life lived for Jesus.
Well, a very happy Resurrection Sunday to you here from Family by Design. The Lord Jesus Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. And because of that, we have not only life here in this world, but life, more importantly, eternally through those who call on His name. And ultimately, that's what we're all about here at the broadcast. In the meantime, we have been talking about with pastor and educator Gary Cox, his personal testimony and story of how God put it in he and his wife's heart to surrender their lives to the number of children, how many children God would send them. And last broadcast, Gary was telling us a little bit about how he and his wife came to that decision. And Gary, we're maybe we can just switch gears a little bit here and kind of look at how, you know, what happened as God started to work in your life. And you mentioned that you had your first son, and then your next child came 4 years later, but somehow you ended up at 10. But what was the process like? What was it like, you know, not really knowing how many, you know, just how big your family was going to be, and as it got bigger, how that played out in your personal life and as well as the people that you had interaction with?
Yeah, I remember I was worried when I got to this stage of life if it would be difficult for me to own the reality of our large family and all its shortcomings and flaws in the public setting, and would people be able to understand. But this is a really special stage of life where we're seeing the fruit of God's purpose in family, and we're recognizing what a glorious faithfulness He has provided for us in ways that are totally unrelated to our strength, our wisdom, our might. The Lord Himself has blessed us. So I guess a little bit of a picture. We trusted the Lord with family, and we embraced the concept of God has a purpose for a larger family that's due to the fact that fundamentally mankind is broken with sin, and there needs to be this redemptive aspect. And if you remember the last broadcast, we've really put this emphasis into recognizing God as our creator and our redeemer and our revealer and our sustainer. And all of my story has centered around that flow of my creator both redeeming me and giving me a new life, a new way of looking at things, a new way of living. He's revealed with understanding His word to my wife and I, and He sustained us. You know, here we are. So part of my testimony today is the sustaining power, the sustaining grace of God. So, you know, in that snapshot, it is a snapshot. Family is a continuum, so it's never finished. There's always a set of circumstances that are active and live, and every one of our family members, like everyone out in the listening audience, those family circumstances are the stage of opportunity for us to walk by faith, to call on the Lord, and to understand what is it today that you have me to do. It's true that the Bible says man makes his plans, but the Lord orders his steps. Probably the greatest part of our journey has been enjoying that process where our steps really were altered and ordered by the Lord in a different fashion than we imagined. And that's a big part of our story. So hopefully I can remember some of those anecdotes as we get through this broadcast. But getting back to that place where we're beginning our family, one of the things that we wanted to do was we wanted to do everything God's way. So the first insane thing we did was we wanted to ask, well, what's God's way with childbirth? And we live in a world that everybody goes to the hospital and basically submits to the medical protocol of the day. And I'm like looking in my Bible and it's like, wow, it didn't used to be that complicated. It had midwives and, you know, it was more a natural part of life. And it seems like the way our medical community treats it, like, having a baby is a disease. Need pretty expensive treatment for it. So, you know, again, we're young. You know, we're at the vestige still of that hippie era where we're asking questions about everything in society. Why are we doing this? So we're asking these questions, and guess what we bump into in this question setting of, is there a better way to have kids? It's the hippies. I mean, the only other people that we bump into are these hippies, you know, free love, community living, and, you know, natural childbirth. So, but my wife and I, we're blessed with this sweetness of love and respect for our Creator. I mean, He's the one we're living for. He's given us everything, and our happiness springs from Him. And so we're looking to Him. We want Him to reveal to us, okay, what's the way? We want Him to redeem us from our faults and maybe our foolishness. And we want Him to provide and sustain. So, part of the story here needs to be, there's legislation in Maryland right now. I don't think it's going to get out of the assembly, but midwife legislation to expand the opportunities of fully fledged natural childbirth midwives who are not necessarily nurse practitioners or gynecologists. But so we look around and say, well, how can we find this? And we hear from the undercurrent of society that there's this guy, this gynecologist at the Washington Hospital Center who is leading the way with respects to natural childbirth. Now, he was working at the hospital. You know, we were going to have to work out of that element of the hospital, so we didn't have any other alternative. We're going to have it in the hospital like everybody else. But the doctor, you know, we go and visit the doctor, and, you know, we don't have insurance, you know, so we're asking, you know, how can we go about self-pay, you know, can you give us a discount like insurance companies require you to give them, you know, this kind of stuff. We're trying to work it out. And in the discussion, he asks me, are you, and he gives my dad's name, are you Dick Cox's son? And I said, yeah, I am. Really? He said, your dad set me up when I escaped from Cuba. And I want to donate this childbirth to you.
Oh, wow.
So I was like, okay, that was a great provision. All right. So then we're excited. We have a doctor who's interested in natural childbirth, and we're at Washington Hospital Center. So it was a great time. Well, now, natural childbirth means you're not going to use the medical pain reductioners, you know, drugs or whatever that are naturally used to prep, you know, to try to avoid some of that painfulness of childbirth. So we're going to be natural. Now, that means we had to take a course, you know, because, you know, my wife's mom told me, your wife's going to do natural childbirth? She can't stand any pain. I mean, she'll never endure pain. So I'm like, okay, maybe this isn't the best idea. So we take this class. Now, the class is called Lamaze Technique of Childbirth.
Lamaze.
L-A-M-A-Z. Now, that's different from another one that was real popular also at the time. But we had a Christian gal who had a biblical perspective in teaching it. So though most of her clients weren't Christian, we were, and we drunk it up. But she starts this class out from the biblical design of God's purpose in childbirth and in the labor. And she says, now, the first thing that you have to understand with childbirth is childbirth is not painful. You make it painful by your reaction to it. But in and of itself, childbirth is not painful. Now, you have to understand, we're these new Christians. We love the Word of God, and everything's like got to come from the Word, from perspective. And so she goes to Genesis chapter 3, and she says, I want you to look at the Hebrew words here. In Genesis 3:16, it says that the Lord is going to increase. Now, the translation, some of the translations were your pain. The Lord's going to increase your pain and delivery. So that's there it is, proof positive. And then it goes to the verse 17, to the husband, she says, Lord's going to increase your labor. Now she said, go to the Hebrew, same word. The word is labor, not pain. And yeah, people call it labor pains, but it isn't painful if you understand what's going on. It's very hard work. And the pain comes from you not understanding the nature of the hard work. You're resisting it. And the reality is you go contrary to the flow and you resist. And the pain is in the resisting.
And we can presume that this woman had had kids.
I think so. I mean, I don't remember. But, you know, my wife and I think this was a little bit into our marriage. So I think I was 22 now and she was 21. But anyway, we're young kids still. But we get this vision. Okay. God has a plan, and the plan is having a family is hard work. There's no two ways about it. Well, you know, we're embracing this whole vision of having hard work because it's God's plan. So we use the Lamaze technique. Now, I want to tell you something. My wife, whether it be a doctor or midwife, except for this first doctor, we had all midwives. The midwives were all astounded. They never saw anyone so calm as my wife delivering, because she never processed pain. She always processed very hard work, and the strong tightening of the muscles is an intensity that's significant, and you resist that in the slightest way or are careless about it, you'll reap some really tough pain. But in that process, we've had all of our children in that natural setting without pain, but with some really hard labor. Our first labor was like 36 hours straight labor of hard labor before the baby came.
Wow.
So anyway, that's a little bit of a chapter. So I don't want to spend too much time on the childbirth, but we're just looking for God's ways and understanding God's thoughts. And that's, to me, if I could encourage anyone listening, is like, don't do stuff we did because we did it. That's stupid. Recognize that you're this wonderful child of the King who loves you. And he's got this incredible playground of purpose that he's created within the confines of earth. And he's given the manual in his word. And he wants us to come to him and find out what pleases him. And it's not like we're going to please him and be... It's like it's a pleasure for us to engage with him, trusting him and living out. So that's where the joy is. That's where the excitement is. So my wife literally astonished her mom because she's never used any drugs of any kind during any pregnancy delivery and never needed to and had safe deliveries. As time went on, our last three living children and the two that perished were all born at home. So we progressed over the years, but we had midwives deliver. And why did I want midwives? I'll be really honest, okay? I wanted midwives because I saw it in the Bible. Looks like these wives, midwives are helping out. Maybe they're a good idea. So the Baltimore Birthing Center was launched. We our second child was born, Baltimore City Hospital, with brand new midwives there. And then they launched a birthing center. We were one of the first customers in the new birthing center on Park Heights Avenue. So most of our kids were born there until we switched over to some home delivery for the last three. But that is part of the entryway. So the Lord provided. And he provided for us also financially, because natural childbirth, midwives, a little more affordable, and we were able to work out deals. Like, for example, the Baltimore Birth Center, we joined in painting the birthing center as a part of our fee payment, because I'm still going to Bible college at the time, or in the early part of ministry. So continuing on then, how did that faith translate into sight in terms of process? You know, so besides bearing children, one of the things that we learned with we also did natural nursing, not using formula in baby bottles, but mother nursing. That was a significant part of the plan, and that's really significant. I mean, today we smile because Now, the hospitals are being criticized for trying to encourage moms to do some nursing, but there's so much incredible medical evidence of how wonderful the baby's milk is, mommy's milk is. It's so different from anything else that you could ever give a baby. And again, it was created by God to sustain life in a special way. And, you know, the problem with a lot of these other substitutionary formulas is you end up with formulating allergies in the process. So we did the thing with nursing all the kids. But you know what? That created such a gentle home environment, because you nurse a child according to their basic needs. You know, there's a regimen, but about every 2 hours. And in that process, you're sitting down a while. Well, mom became this relaxed person that the sit-down mode was the time to read to the kids and to write in her journal. And that became, you know, the target. You know, even with our homeschooling, nursing time is the prime time, because that's when we get to get out the books and we get to read, we get to interact. And, you know, as we listen to some of the, you know, essential discussion on children, it was said that in a general sense, not in a precise term, but in a general sense, if mom is able to nurse to the maximum, there's a relationship between nursing and childbearing that, as a rule, you'll kind of space your children apart every 2 years. That's kind of the way it'll happen. Now, like I said, we had 4 year space almost between the first and the second one, so we were panicking that we would ever have another child. But after that, it was basically, you know, not to an exact precision, but roughly, children came every 2 years. That's interesting. The grandchildren come faster. That's where the multiplication comes in. Go ahead.
Well, if you're just joining us, we're here on Family by Design talking with Gary Cox about his personal journey, he and his wife and their family, and particularly this area of receiving more kids than a lot of families have thought about. And kind of just a transition here, Gary, as those kids started coming, and you had one, and then you had two, and then you had three, and then you had four, and on, did you have any interesting conversations with those who were surprised as it became, as you mentioned earlier, this decision, this step of faith that you acted in faith with God as this became apparent? Yeah. What was that like? Did you have any interesting conversations?
Well, yeah, that's probably that? One that stands out, because it was in the early years, the concern grew. With each child we had, we got more and more response up to the fourth child. So the fourth child was the biggest response, and I'll tell that story in a minute. But then after that, it seemed like it declined and people stopped saying anything, because I guess they figured no use in talking to them. They're already insane. Nobody can help them.
they're goners now.
Right. But I remember, you know, the whole point of it is you can't live out of somebody else's faith. And so my wife and I, and our love, well, actually, he loved us. So in the receiving of his love and enjoying it and loving him back, we just wanted to have God's way in our life, whatever that was. We weren't trying to plan it or design it or construct it in any particular way. We were trying to receive it, what he has. So we could have had just one child, and we would have lived out our life in that accordance. That happens to folks. But as this unfolding happened, you know, we had a vision for it. And the important thing is, the scripture talks about in 1 Peter chapter 3, talks about the individual, excuse me, it's 1 Peter chapter 4, talks about being ready to give an answer to him that asks of the hope that lies within you. Well, that was something that I felt deeply, that, you know, it's really important that when you're doing something that's counterculture and you bump into culture and culture says, what in the world are you doing? It's probably wise to follow the scripture's advice and have an answer so that you can say, well, with meekness and fear, this is how the Lord led us because of XYZ. So, right, you know, I was aware of that.
Yeah, but 1 Peter 3:15.
Right, exactly. So when I'm, you know, a young dad, we're expecting our fourth child, I supplemented my pastoral income with some handyman work on the side. I had a little handyman company I called Rent a Handyman. So I said, nothing, no job is too small, and I'll try anything once. So little handyman job. So in the process, though, a little niche that I began to develop was real estate. Just before closing on a real estate, there's a walkthrough that happens. And then sometimes some stuff pops up that has to be done before settlement. And so I'd get these emergency calls for doing a punch list, a little list of work to do before settlement can happen on a house. So I began making regular trips into this real estate. And if you know anything about real estate, most of the real estate agents, not all, but most, happen to be women, because some of that initial startup cost, you know, a woman can handle if she's married and her husband has a job. Whereas if you're a single head of household, you know, you can't necessarily wait for that growth period to get into it. So anyway, regardless, a lot of women in this office. And so I'm walking in and some interaction. I'm in the middle of the whole entire room. And the one of the ladies says to me, so what's going on? I said, we're getting ready to have a baby. She said, baby, well, what number is this? I said, 4. And she was astonished. She said, 4? 4? Are you Catholic? I said, no. Are you Mormon? I said, no. She said, well, what are you? And it just sprang to my spirit. I said, I'm a good businessman. And she said, what? Good businessman? I said, yeah, well, I've discovered from the Word of God what lasts forever. And I'm investing my whole life in it. And I'm going to take it with me, because that's what the Scripture says. God made family so he could bring to himself a godly seed. So he's in the business of making eternal investments in lives while we're temporarily here on the earth. So that totally blew her away. I mean, it really caused her panic. And she said, you're kidding me. I mean, I thought the important part of life was, like, we develop really good memories. Our memories are what we're going to have forever. And she was, like, astonished. So, you know, she was loud in the middle of this whole gigantic room filled with female agents. And she's asking me questions. And I'm just sharing my wife's and my receiving of God's design for the family. And she was astonished at an interesting little, you know, we got to share publicly in that setting. But then she had a personal need at home. She wanted me to work on building a deck or something. She brought me to the house to bid on the deck. And really what I found out later, she wanted me to tell my story to her husband, because she felt like, she said, well, we are Catholic, but we only had one kid, and we put her in boarding school because we're trying to have a happy life while we can. And she was made to pause and think, maybe there's a different way of looking at things. Like Jesus said, repent, turn from what you're thinking and doing, because the kingdom of God is at hand. There's a heavenly way and the earthbound life.
I think you said the last broadcast that you know, your intent and purpose for your children wasn't so much a materialistic materialistic end, and that they would, you know, go to college and have good jobs, but that you would provide opportunity and setting for them to get to know God, and that would be their most important legacy. And I know you personally know that, in fact, you a number of your children have in fact gone on and have gotten higher education because of the different vocations that they have. And I'm reminded about one of the stories you told a couple broadcasts ago about how you were able to use your what you would call your
opportunity, yeah,
to help your kids look to God as ultimately their daddy who could meet their needs. And I don't know if you, just as we're closing out this conversation for today, you just talk a little bit about how that played out in your kids' life.
Well, I probably don't have a lot of time for all the details, but I will say in the big picture, there's this contradictory perspective. So my fear personally was, well, if I have too many kids, I won't be able to provide the funds for college education. So it was like, I've got to provide a college education so I can't allow kids to be born. So when the Lord brought me to this place of trust where I can trust him, and he's promised, you know, you seek the kingdom of heaven, you seek God's righteousness, he'll add these things that you need. When I trusted him, I said, okay, well then, just because I may have a large family doesn't mean that God won't provide college educations. It just won't be me and my wealthiness providing it. So, and that's the heritage. That's the reality, that by allowing all this significant need into our home, by receiving a larger family, we had lower means in terms of greater need. We put ourselves in that situation that God wants us in. See, having a need, having lack, isn't some thing of condemnation. It's a provision by which we have the stage set to act out our faith and call upon the Lord. So I taught my children, I don't know what God has for you, but if he wants you to be a lawyer, he'll provide for you. And we'll talk about some of this in more detail later, but I have a son who's a lawyer. You know, personally, I had in mind I'd like to be a medical doctor someday. Well, I've got a son going to University of Maryland Medical School that God's provided for. He did it. He gets the glory. I don't get any credit. I have a son who's an IT guy. He never went to a day of school in his life, but the Lord provided for him. He's the guy with the airplane pilot license. But the Lord, you look to the Lord, you trust the Lord. But here's the caveat. See, today, if you're in bondage to that view that your kids, that you got to pay for college to have a kid, if you're in bondage to that idea, then you're limiting life so drastically by your looking through your own lack. And the spiritual reality is, not every kid needs to go to college anyway. College isn't necessarily the panacea of our cultural economic need. And for some people, they're graduating with 4 years of college debt, owing $100,000, and not even able to get a job. And what did they get their degree in? Something that's very unmarketable. And so they don't even have a means to getting an income because of that carelessness. So my view was basically twofold. The Lord says, be faithful in little things. So the first thing is we have family to be faithful. Let's fill up all of our family needs. Let's learn how to be family first. Be faithful there. And then trust God to provide. You're faithful here, he'll give you something else. And that's what my children have done. So my children have gone on and been blessed, some with college, some without, but they've all been blessed. They've all been provided for. And they all have that heritage. They look to the Lord. He's their provider. And what's really exciting is my kids, I didn't ever make this a mandate of any of them, my kids enjoy family so much, they're having kids too without any worry or fear. And now I guess that's obvious if I have 23 grandkids.
Well, on that note, we are going to wrap up today's broadcast as we've taken this journey with Gary through some of the life lessons that he's learned in terms of the practical application of embracing God's design for the family. And I think a key element that we've heard today is the importance of faith, of acting in faith and trusting in God and in his character and his nature as he relates to us, interacts with us. It isn't a external, outward, performance-minded relationship in any of the sense, but it's a matter of trusting a faithful God in these matters. If you are interested in learning more about Family by Design or our ministry, Walkersville Christian Family Schools, visit us online at www.wcfs.edu. You can also email us with questions or comments or any feedback you'd like to give us about what you're hearing on this broadcast. Our email address is radio@wcfs.edu. You can also hear the entirety of this broadcast and our previous broadcasts at wthu.org. And you can check out our broadcasts in the audio vault under Family by Design. Until next time, I hope you have a blessed Resurrection Sunday. And hope you join us again next week as we continue to treasure God's design for the family.
You can give your children houses, and you can give.
Thanks for spending your time with us today here at Family by Design. Join us every Sunday when we will continue this wonderful journey, helping you to treasure God's design for your family.
Cause the greatest gift the Father can give is a life lived for Jesus. And the greatest gift a mother can give is the knowledge of the Lord. Pass him on to your children.
Your children.
He's the gift that keeps on giving. The greatest gift. is a life lived for Jesus.